Amen. Let's take the Word of God tonight. We will go to Psalm chapter number 78. Psalm chapter 78. Well, it's a great blessing to be here. And thank you so much for the accommodations and your kindness to me and to my family for many years. And, of course, our daughter Abby graduated here last year. She's teaching out in Virginia, and we're thankful. We miss her, but we're so thankful for her. And then Caleb, he'll begin his senior year next year. And then we have our son Joshua with us. He's a junior in our high school, and we're so thankful for what the Lord does. And I'm grateful to be able to hear from my good friend Chris. And Chris and I do not know if I have a better friend in the ministry than Chris. And what he preached you on tonight is real in his life. I have prayed with him. Him and I traveled neighborhood Bible time together, has been told, and close to 29 years ago. Of course, we started traveling when we were 10 years of age, and so that will help you to know our age. But we had a lot of fun together serving God, and I could tell you stories, and I've thought about that. Yeah, all right. How much is it worth? But anyway, but it was just a blessing. God brought him into my life. I believe that. God used him to influence me. I was with, I didn't have any brothers growing up. I had two sisters, and I was right in the middle, an older sister, younger sister. I'm still trying to get over that today, but God brought him into my life. And I remember coming to Boulder, Colorado from Knoxville, Tennessee. Never been any place like that. And God knit our hearts together very quickly. He was a leader, and I watched, I observed him, and I learned from him. I remember the nights that we would pray together and how God would stir my heart. And I'm so thankful for friendship, and I'm thankful for the friends that God has given us here. This evening, I want to bring you something that has been such a thought in my own heart and life about what God desires to do in our lives. Now, you're here at this conference, and what a blessing, and I enjoyed the message this morning by Dr. Mitchell, and what a blessing that was, and I enjoyed the message by Pastor Starr. But we are all here for a purpose. We are here for God to use us. I believe that. We're here for God to do something in our lives beyond what we could ever imagine or think. But I want us to have this thought this evening. Is it possible for you and I to limit God? Meaning the God who can do all things, the God who is able, the God who is all-powerful, the God who can break every addiction in our life, the God who can enable us to do what we thought we could never do, is it possible for us to limit what God wants to do? The answer is yes. As we come to Psalm chapter number 78, I want us to begin in verse number 1 because I want you to see a group of people that it was said that they limited God. And I want to preach to you tonight on this subject. Are you limiting God? Psalm chapter 78, we begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as in heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Let's pick up, if you would please, in verse number 37 of the same chapter. The Bible says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. The Bible goes on to say in verse 38, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? And then notice verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Is it possible for you and me in our families, in our homes, in our churches, and in our personal lives to limit God? Yes. As these children of Israel, in fact, specifically the children of Ephraim, they turned back and tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Let's begin a word of prayer tonight. Would you join me at this time? Father in heaven, we have heard a wonderful message, and Lord, it stirred my heart, as I know it did all of us. May we watch and pray. Lord, help us. But tonight, as we look to your word once again, and as we think about, Lord, the God who wants to work in our lives, how you desire to change us, God, may we not limit you. I pray that your perfect will would be done this evening. I pray that you would arrest our hearts and minds and convict us tonight. And may there be, Lord, sorrow to repentance. And may we turn to thee. And Lord, from this day forward, may we never limit you again. Father, enable me tonight to do what I cannot do in my own strength. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I find in our text tonight the picture of an almighty God, the picture of a God who is able to bless them. In fact, we have read many of the instances of God's blessing, his hand of provision, miracles that God did, and yet God says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. I do not know about you, but I know that I desire for God to bless my life. I want God to do something in our church, and I want God to do something with my children. I believe that God is able to do that, but I also believe that we can limit a holy God. That we can hinder what God desires to do. We are not talking about the inability of God, because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we know that tonight, but yet in our text we find a people that God said of them, I wanted to do so much more with you. I wanted to bless you. I wanted to give you all of the land. And yet, they limited the Holy One of Israel. I believe tonight that God has so much more for us than what we could ever imagine. And yet, I find in many people's lives, there is almost a hopelessness. There is almost a despair. There is almost a thinking that God, what God did in the past, God can truly not do today, and that God is finished. But brethren, I believe tonight that we serve a God who can do great and mighty things, and he wants to use you and me. I believe he desires it. In fact, I believe that God searches every church and He searches every neighborhood. I believe He searches our colleges and He searches our schools, and He is looking for men and women and boys and girls that He can put His hand to blessing upon their life because they believe that God is able to do great and mighty things. When we take God's word, can I tell you, you think about David. David was a young boy that everybody overlooked, even the prophet. There was all of David's brothers. They were strong and capable, and surely the Lord's anointed is among them. But God said, no, I've not chosen any of them, because He had a boy on a hillside. A boy who had great faith in God. A boy who believed that God could do great and mighty things. And God used David. Brethren, God is not looking for the great talented, and God is not looking for the great gifted today. God is looking for men and women who just trust in a God who can do all things. Now tonight, as we think about limiting God, let's just go to our text tonight and let us see where we can limit God. Now the first seven verses of Psalm chapter 78 deal with our children. And that's the first point tonight, our children. And I want you to notice, look what it says. Let's begin in verse number 3 once again. It says, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Verse number 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Verse number 5, it talks about He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. And then notice what it says in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Do you understand that really it begins with their hope in God? It goes on to not forgetting the works of God and then keeping the commandments of God. I'm afraid sometimes we want the children just to keep the commandments of God without ever having them hope in God. We want them to simply have rules without a relationship with God. Maybe some standards without seeking the Savior. And we find that our responsibility begins with our children. Brethren, I think all of us understand that we are living in a world today that has biblically illiterate children. Children that don't even know one Bible verse. Children that do not know the works of God. You know, years ago, you used to be able to talk about David and Goliath, but you can't even do that today because people don't even know that story. You can talk about Daniel and the lions, but people don't even know the story today. And our children are suffering today because they have not set their hope in God. They do not know the works of God, and therefore they do not keep the commandments of God. Now, by the way, the children or the nation of Israel here, God had chosen this nation not because they were the greatest, not because they were the biggest. Oh, they were the smallest. And yet God chose them for a purpose. God wanted the children of Israel to be a channel through whom He could make Himself known to the rest of the world. And brethren, can I tell you something tonight? That is what God has chosen upon you and me, to be channels through whom He can work, through whom He can make Himself known. I think about people that God has brought into my life through the years. I can think of a basketball coach tonight. I can think about an English teacher. Now, I didn't learn much, but she was a great teacher, all right? But I remember people that showed me the hope in God. They believed in God, and I began to believe in God because they believed in God. They talked about the works of God. They talked about how great God is and how loving and kind and compassionate, and yet that God wants me to keep His commandments. You see, folks, we are to be channels through whom God can work. I think sometimes we get the idea that it's all up to us. It's me doing more, and I've got to do more, and I've got to do this and that. But brethren, it is God doing more through us. Hudson Taylor said, it is not what I can do, it is what God can do through Hudson Taylor that matters. And I believe tonight that we have a responsibility to our children, and we have a responsibility to the generation to come. The generation to come. Why? Because we are to be channels through whom God wants to work. I'm afraid that there are many Christians that are not channels, but they're nothing but stagnant ponds. Nothing but where water has come in and nothing is going out. We have so much teaching today, and we should have teaching today, and we have preaching today, and that is wonderful, and so much instruction today. But if nothing is going out, if we are not sharing to the generation to come what God is doing, then we're nothing but a stagnant pond. Oh, may God help us today that we do not limit God when it comes to our children. By the way, if you find a happy mother and a happy father in a home, can I tell you what you will find? You're going to find that mother and father sharing their lives with the generation to come. Telling them what God has done. Telling them the works of God. And telling them the praises of the Lord. Telling them the strength of God. That is what you will find. But brethren, I believe this. If you find a happy Christian, a joyful Christian, you will find a person that is sharing what God has done for him and her and with the generation to come. I stand before you tonight knowing in my own heart and life that there have been times, maybe many times, that I have limited what God wanted to do. I remember years ago when I was in Bible college and I had to take a semester off because I could not afford it. And I got a job full-time working in downtown Knoxville area. And I remember one morning going early to work and the sun came up over the hill and I just could not see and I didn't know there was cars in front of me, and I don't know how it happened, but I were able to grab the wheel and I went down into the ditch and I was stuck. If you know anything about Tennessee, lots of guys have pickup trucks, all right? And so a bunch of two guys came over and they had a pickup truck and they said, buddy, we can get you out. Well, they couldn't get me out. And they said, hey, we'll take you to a payphone. I know teenagers don't even know what that is, but we had to use those at one time. And I remember as soon as I got in the pickup truck with those guys, the Spirit of God began to move in my heart. And I had an opportunity to share the gospel with those men that was in that truck. And I am sad to tell you that out of fear and out of almost anxiety, I did not share the gospel that day. Do you know what? To this day, I wonder what God could have done. To this day, I wonder, did those men ever trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? I'm sad to tell you, but I limited God that day. I limited what God wanted to do. It was a few years after that that I was had a bus route in college, and I remember one morning as I was out on the route, and you can get discouraged at times, and that morning I was discouraged, and I remember parking my car and getting out and kneeling and praying and say, God, I'm asking you to do what I could never do. And Lord, would you work in a great way? And I remember I went in obedience and began to knock on doors and to share the gospel. And I came to a trailer where I knocked on the door and boy, the man opened the door and you could tell he was upset and things were not well. And I invited the man and I thought he had some children. I said, sir, I would love to have you come to the house of the Lord tomorrow. Sir, I'd love to bring a bus by here, and I'd like to knock on your door and pick you up. This is what time I'm coming. And the man shut the door. And you know how it is. You think they'll never come. And I remember that morning when we pulled up, I told him I'd be there. So I went and knocked on the door. There was the man. He was dressed. Four kids all dressed, ready to go. They got on the bus that day. Man, I was so thrilled. I was so happy. I was so excited. I'm glad I didn't limit God, but the story doesn't end there, because that man sat by me in church that morning. And to be honest with you, I got kind of carried up in the message. I was just enjoying the preaching so much. And when the invitation was given, that man grabbed me by the arm and he said, come with me now. I thought, this is it. I'm over, you know. I don't know what he was going to do. I didn't drag him to the aisle. He took me to the aisle that morning. And I remember that man as I got, I was a young college student, and I remember I knelt with him, tears gushing down that man's face. He began to tell me what had happened that week. His wife had left them. He was desperate for God, and that man got gloriously saved that morning. Can I tell you something? I can think back to times when I knew God wanted to do something better and bigger and greater than what I could ever imagine, and yet I limited God. And I wonder tonight, are we limiting God when it comes to the generation to come? Are we limiting God with our children? Look back in Psalm chapter 78 and verse number 4 and notice what we are to share with this generation to come, our children. The Bible says we will not hide them from their children. Showing to the generation to come here to earth three things: the praises of the Lord and His strength, the strength of the Lord and His wonderful works that He had done. So we see the praises of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, and the wonderful works of the Lord. Can I tell you what the praises of the Lord is? That tells who the Lord is. That says that God is real. I know that He is real because I've talked to Him. He has spoken to me. It is talking about the praises of the Lord. We need to be declaring to our children, to the generation to come, that there is a God in heaven who is real and a God who answers prayer. But secondly, the strength of the Lord. This tells what God can do. We should be declaring to the generation to come the mighty strength of the Lord, that God is able. We should joyously be telling how God has brought deliverance, how God has answered prayer, and how God has given us victory. I'll never forget years ago when I was just a teenager going through something very difficult. And my dad, I think, honestly, didn't know what to say to me, as many parents do, including myself. And I remember my dad put his arm around me that day and he quoted, "Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." And my dad said, "Son, God is able." You know something? I went to school with that on my heart. I went to school thinking, I can't do it, but God can do it. I went to school with thinking, I don't see how God could ever do it, but He is the God who is able. The generation to come. Brethren, we have a responsibility to not limit God when it comes to our children, the generation to come. Brethren, by the way, may Fairhaven Baptist Church, may Fairhaven Baptist College, may your church and may your life be a beacon, be a lighthouse that declares that God is real and God can change your life and look what He has done for me. You see, so often I think tonight we have not made it personal. I remember years ago a youth pastor saying to me, "As a young person, I have been through what you have been through." And he didn't say, "You'll get over it." He didn't say, "I've been there, I've done that, you'll be fine." No, you know what he told me? He said, "I've been through what you've been through, and God helped me, and I believe that God will help you." Brethren, and God's no respecter of persons. So if God helped him, then God was going to help me. You see, we ought to be beacons that say God is real and God can change your life. And look what He has done for me. Brethren, there is a God in heaven who, figuratively speaking, has His hands tied. A God who wants to bless our churches. A God who wants to bless our families. Brethren, it is not dependent on us per se, of us doing more and us working harder. Yes, we should be busy about the work of the Lord. We should occupy till He comes. But this is believing that God is able. Oh, may God help us tonight. I believe that God wants to do so much more than what we really allow Him to do. We see, number one, our children. But secondly, I want you to notice our challenge. Now, in Psalm chapter 78, we find a great challenge. And I want us to pick back up now in verse number 8. And I want you to look at this. And here is the challenge. And brethren, tonight, if we read this and we say, "Well, that's not me. Look at those fathers. Look at those stubborn people." But tonight, we need to understand that we are stubborn at times in our own life. May we not understand tonight that we are rebellious. That God is limited often because of our stubbornness. And God is limited often because of our rebellion. Let's look at Psalm 78 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them." Now I want you to think about the children of Ephraim. The Bible says that they were counted on in the day of battle. They were armed. They were carrying bows, and they came to the battle and they looked at the enemy. They looked at what they thought was impossible. They looked at the difficulty, and the Bible says they turned back and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Do you understand tonight that what it is saying is if they had gone forward in faith, if they had gone forward in obedience to God, God would have given them the victory. God would have given, by the way, God had promised them the land, but in obedience and in faith, they were to take the land. You see, brethren, today, what is our challenge? What is my challenge tonight? The challenge is that we don't turn back in the heat of the battle. We keep our eyes on Jesus and we faith God for what God is able to do. That's the challenge that you face. It's the challenge that I face. I remember becoming a pastor 13 years ago, and I just had in my heart and mind, I thought everybody loved the preacher, you know. I mean, he preaches God's word and all of that. And if I came a time as being a young pastor that I really came close to becoming very disillusioned in the ministry, almost about people and almost about the work of God. Is this what it's going to be? And the labor. And I'm going to tell you, there's a temptation to turn back. There's a temptation to say, the battle is too strong. The battle takes something out of me. And the warfare is so difficult. And I just want to turn back. As Pastor Chris talked about, being a sleepy Christian, it's easier to sleep than to fight. It is easy to lay down the arms, and it is easier to do that. I'll never forget years ago when my son Caleb was here, and I mean, I don't know how old he would have been at the time, and him and I were first starting to get into deer hunting, all right? And we went to Ohio. I grew up in Tennessee. The only thing I hunted was coons and cats and things like that, all right? And yeah, that's about the only thing I did. When Pastor Chris was giving that illustration about if a worm, I was thinking of a cat. I just keep going, you know. But anyway, if I just offended you, I'm sorry, all right? But anyway, Caleb and I, we were going to hunt. And boy, people in our church, they were like, "Preacher, you need to go hunting." I was like, "All right." And we were going to try this thing, you know. And I remember after school, we were trying to get in the tree stand, you know, or the blind, I think we were doing at that time. And so we ran home and we got everything we thought we needed. And we got there, got our camo on, and got our crossbows, and we'd forgotten the arrows. That's what we'd forgotten that day. I thought, man, we can beat the thing to death with the, you know, the crossbow, but I just don't think, you know what we did? We put it all back in the car and went home. We forgot the most important thing. We forgot the arrow. And brethren, today we are facing a foe that you and I are not able in our own strength. The Bible tells us, in fact, as we think of what Pastor Chris talked about, how that the Lord Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." But what did he say? "But I have prayed for thee." And then he said this, "that thy faith fail not." He was saying, Peter, it's your faith the devil wants. He targets our faith, and the challenge today is not to turn back, because I'm going to tell you something, if we do not turn back, God will truly do a work. But often we miss what God wants to do. because we turn back. Often we limit the Holy One of Israel because we have turned back. Look what it says, a few things here as it talks about the children of Ephraim. The Bible says, look what it says here in verse number 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. They were unfaithful. Brethren, they kept not His covenant. And brethren, God requires us to be faithful today. By the way, do you know that the greatest key, God calls us to faithfulness. Faithful. And it goes on to say, and they refused to walk in His law. They were unwilling. Not were they just unfaithful, but they were unwilling. And then the Bible says they forgot His works. They were ungrateful. They forgot about God. Brethren, the great challenge today is that we are not unfaithful, that we are not ungrateful, that we are not unwilling, that we do not turn back in the heat of the battle. Brethren, our great challenge today is to rise by faith, not in our ability, not in what we can do in our own strength. It is not looking to ourselves. It is looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That is the great challenge today. It is to rise by faith in the heat of the battle, in the toil of the struggle, in the crisis hour, and to meet the challenges of this day. It almost seems as if the arsenal of hell has been unleashed on us today. You know it. From media, from the social standpoint, from all the different things that are attacking our children today and also our own lives today. Is there any hope? Yes, there is hope in a God who is able. Oh, brethren, never has there been a generation that has the challenges that we face today, but our God is able to do exceeding abundantly. Our God is able. Ephraim, the time that they were counted on, the time that they were dependent upon. Here the children of Ephraim, they're armed. They're carrying bows. They are standing there. They see the enemy approaching, and for whatever reason, a lack of faith, a lack of unwillingness, and a lack of gratitude, they turn back in the day of battle. I want you to take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter number 13 this evening, and brethren, the great challenge of today is that we would live by faith. I believe the greatest need of this hour is that we allow God to do really what God wants to do in our lives, but we have limited Him. Now, brethren, remember this. God is not limited by His inability. God, His resources have not dried up. His power has not diminished. His ability is not waning somehow. It's not that God has grown old and weary. No, our God is the same God that He was in the Old Testament. And what God did there, we almost look at that and we marvel and we almost are tend to think that, well, God could not do that today. But brethren, I believe that God is still able this evening. I believe that God is still wanting. And I believe that God is looking for people through whom He can do His mighty work. People that will faith Him. People that will believe in this God. We come to the book of Matthew chapter 13. I want you to look in verse number 53. Because as we think of our Savior, His ministry, and I want you to look in Matthew chapter number 13, and let's look in verse number 53. Would you notice this? The Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, He departed thence. And when He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And I want you to notice verse 57, "And they were offended in Him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house, and He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter number 23. Matthew chapter 23 tonight. Brethren, I present to you that God is not limited tonight. Parents, He is still able to work in the lives of your children. Husband and wife, He is still able to work in that marriage. Church, He is able. Pastor, He is able to do what you could never imagine that God can do in your church. Because that's the God that we serve tonight. Listen, I still believe this with all my heart. And I don't know if you believe it or not, but I still believe that God can bring revival to our land. And can I tell you what I want? I just want to be a part of it. Lord, just let me be a part of it. Lord, just let me in on it. Let me be a part of it. Lord, here I am. I'm a channel. I want you to use me. And no, do I believe that I am able? No. In fact, often I look at myself and I think, God, how could you use anybody like me? And then I believe that God is not looking for the great, the talented, the mighty. In fact, not many mighty are called, not many noble. But God had chosen the weak things to confound this world. Brethren, there is a God who is able. Let's believe Him. We'll read here in a moment in Matthew chapter 23, but back in chapter 13, the Bible says, and He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It was as if God said, I've got many things that I can do here, many people that I can heal and many lives that I can transform. But He left there that day, the God who is able to do all things. And He said, I could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Have you limited God by your unbelief in Him? Have I limited God by my unbelief? By the way, as we think about the matter of prayer, do you know what prayerlessness really is? It is unbelief. If we believe that God is real, if we believe that He is able, and if we believe the verse, you have not because you ask not, we would pray tonight. We have children in our church, I'm sure as you do, and we spoil them half to death. We really do. Levi and Bethany are, of course, in our church, and they now have a little daughter named Molly, and they have a little boy named Jack. And Jack is my little buddy. I just want you to know that right now. You say, how come he's your buddy? Well, he just loves the pastor. That's what it is. No, I give him things all the time, you know? In fact, I don't know how it started. I'm in trouble at our church. I'm in trouble. Because I started this thing where I'd carry marshmallows in my pocket, all right? Do you know what every suit pocket I've got, it's got marshmallow dust in there, you know? I was just trying to be a help. Little Jack, man, he sees me. He will skip going to his mama and his daddy. He will come straight to his pastor. That's a good little boy right there, all right? I just want you to know that. He comes up and, you know, my wife and I are shaking hands as people are leaving, and I've got Jack holding him right there. And you say, is he content to be with you? No, he just wants marshmallows. That's really what it is, you know? And it's gotten so bad, I have to give Levi and Bethany marshmallows so he will go with his parents, you know? I mean, it's bad, you know? I kind of like it, though, you know? But let me tell you something about that little child. You know what he believes? He believes that I've got anything, and I will give it to him. Bethany looked at me one day and said, Preacher, you can tell him no. I said, no, I've already done that lots. I'm not doing it now, all right? It's over. You know, I'm not telling him no. And can I just say something to you? That little boy in his own little mind, he believes, Preacher's going to give me what I want. If I ask Him for it, He'll give it to me. There is almost a childlike faith, but have we lost that childlike faith in our God? The God who is able to do all things. Now, we must understand that we must pray in accordance to His will, and the Lord leads us in that way, and not my will, but thine be done. But I think today in many Christians' lives, we're almost in despair that God is just not able. Now, we've heard the stories, but I just don't think God can do that today because I've never seen God do that in my life. A lack of faith, disbelief, and He will not do many mighty works there. Matthew chapter number 23, We pick up in verse number 37. Will you notice it? And Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, can I encourage you to enter into the agony of Jesus praying this and saying this to Jerusalem? Can I have you enter into a Savior who was passionate for a people and a nation that he wanted to bless? He wanted to use. Look what it says in Matthew 23 and verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. And I think one of the saddest statements in all of the Bible, it says, and ye would not. Jesus said, I wanted to do so much more. I wanted to gather you. I wanted to bring you near to myself. I wanted you to know all the blessings that you have in Christ. I wanted to do so much more with your life, but you would not. Could it be one day that we stand before a holy God and for God to look at me and say, Aaron, I wanted to do so much more with you, but you would not. You wouldn't trust me. You would not ask me because we have not because we ask not. Could it be that we have limited God? Could it be that he is not doing mighty works in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our neighborhoods because we have limited God? Could it be tonight that God would say, oh, church, oh, family, I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. Think of the love. Think of the affection that God has. And he says, I wanted you to be so close to me. I wanted to put a hedge of protection about you. I wanted to guard you. I wanted to do so much more. But ye would not. Number three, the last thing tonight. Not only do we see we limit God concerning our children, and our challenge today is not to turn back in the day of battle, but number three, our confidence. Now take your Bibles, if you would please, in closing. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78, and I want you to notice, simply put tonight, we limit God by our lack of confidence in him. We limit God. Now, brethren, tonight, please understand that our faith life, by the way, it is impossible to please God without faith. Do you understand tonight that God has designed the Christian life that it must be lived by faith? We come into the family of God by faith, but it doesn't stop there. We continue to live the Christian life by faith. Now, I want to live by sight. I want to live that way. Now, brethren, this is not a hope against hope. This is not expecting things that were never intended from God to us. Back a few months ago, I got a phone call from a place that I visit very frequently. I got a phone call from the manager of the Chick-fil-A. Praise God for that. Now, they cater to our school once a week, and I worked with them to get them to do that. And we use them, missions conferences, Pastor Evangelist Starr and even his son have been in our church. We have Chick-fil-A night and all of that. And I go there a lot. It's amazing how many visits I have close to Chick-fil-A. I mean, it's just, God is good. But they called me one day, and here's what they said. They said, Preacher, we want you to know that we're just coming up on our year anniversary of, and they had planted a new Chick-fil-A there. And they said, we're coming up on a year, and Preacher, we want you to know that of all our customers, you are the number one person who has bought, as far as that goes. You're the number one person. I was a little embarrassed, but I was kind of proud of myself too, you know? I was thinking, man, this is great. And then they said this. They said, Pastor, when can you come in? We need to set up a time because we have a very special gift for you, preacher. Now, I'll be honest with you. I got to thinking about that. I was like, man, a year's supply of Chick-fil-A would be really good, you know? I mean, hey, if I'm the number one person, come on, let's make this right, you know? And then, I got to thinking, maybe I'll just get a card. And every time I go there, I mean, just, hey, that's good, preacher, go on. You know, I mean, that seemed good. I got there that day, and I mean, it was kind of a big deal. And they took a picture of me, you know. And then they handed me this bag, and I'm thinking, it's in there, brother, you know. And they said, see you later, Pastor. It's great, man. I went to my car. I opened that up. Can I tell you what I got for being the number one employee or number one purchaser? I got a Chick-fil-A cow. That's what I got that day. A stuffed cow. Just a little thing. And in that moment, I just laughed in my car and I put it on my seat and I thought, that's what I get, you know, for doing that. But I want you to hear me out. Brethren, that is a company that obviously is concerned about their profit and they're concerned about their shares and all of that. And I think sometimes we look at God as, God, what kind of good thing can you give me lately? You know, God, I'd really like to have this and like to have that. And that's almost the extent of our thoughts about what God can do for us. It's almost as if, God, can you do something really special for me? God, can you? But brethren, that is not what faith is all about. Faith is believing God to do His work. Faith is believing God to bring victory. Do you need victory in your life? Do you need it in your church? Do you need it in marriages? Then God is able to do that. And why do we not have victory? Because we limit God. You see, faith is looking unto God. It's looking away from myself. It's looking away from my ability. It's looking away from my work and my strength. It is looking only unto Him. It is believing God to do what only God can do. Now, let's pick back up in Psalm chapter 78. And I want us to look in verse number 12 and notice this tonight. We skipped over this, but I did it on purpose. Verse number 12 says, marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers. In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also, He led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers, and they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down man upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven and heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea, and He let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation, so that it eat and were well filled, and for He gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous works. Do you see tonight that the children of Israel, God heard this. Brethren, I wonder how many times has God heard my lack of faith? I wonder how many times God has heard my murmuring spirit, which I will tell you, murmuring is nothing but disbelief in God. God has heard my criticism. God has heard my complaining, and God has heard my faithlessness and my faithlessness. And the Bible says, for whatsoever not of faith is sin. And when we do not trust God, we are sinning against God. Brethren, can I tell you, the great people of the earth today are those who allow the Lord to be great in their lives. So often we think about, what's a great person? Can I tell you who a great person is? It's whom allows God to be great in their lives. It is not about us. It is not about us being more and better in a sense of people thinking more of us. It is about God being known and being great in our lives. So our faith, brethren, faith, I'm not talking about ambition tonight. I'm not talking about us gritting our teeth and trying to do more in our own strength or in our own ability. It's not about ambition, trying to be bigger and greater and others to see more of us. No, faith is coming to the end of ourselves, but it is coming to where our trust and dependence is solely upon God, that we are believing God, that we are trusting God, that we are depending upon God. And if we believe God, we will pray. And if we believe God, we will work. And if we believe God, we will trust and obey. And brethren, tonight, the children of Israel saw the blessings of the Lord, yet they did not believe God. Brethren, you see, faith in God makes God real to you and me. Do you know why God's not real to us? Because we do not faith God. Do you know why we do not see the works of a God? Because we do not faith Him. Mark and Matthew, we read it, and He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And tonight, God has so dealt with me that I have been praying, Lord, increase my faith. I am like that man that said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And brethren, what we need in marriages tonight and what we need from pastors and assistants and young people tonight is people who just believe God and say, Lord, increase my faith. You see, man looks on the outward appearance, but where does God look? The Lord looks on our hearts and He sees if we are people of faith. We often admire people for how they look and for how they can articulate things. We admire the ability of some people to be winsome and maybe even to get a things accomplished. But the Lord is looking for one thing tonight. I believe the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, and He wants to show Himself strong in your life. He's looking for people of faith tonight. Brethren, are you limiting God? I don't know about you, but God has so dealt with me that in many areas of my life, in my church, and maybe my own children, and my wife, I have limited God. And tonight, I believe there is a call for us to respond to our God and say, Lord, I confess my prayerlessness, which is unbelief tonight. Lord, I confess that heart of unbelief where I just don't think You are going to work. I don't think You're going to answer this prayer. And Lord, tonight, increase my faith. Brethren, let us not limit God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I believe God desires